Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. It's May 26, 2015. Hey, just a heads up for if you listen to the program. We went with the cheaper system here. So, cheaper meaning free, rather than paying the money that we're paying every month. And things are economically just weird, so we're going with the free process. And with that, you lose a lot of ability to do things. And one of the things we get to lose is the ability to bring callers into the screen room to see what they're doing, what their question is, and prepare for that. The reason why we do that is you don't know who could or could not call, and only a couple times have we had, back when we had the premium system, people would get on and just say all kinds of vulgar stuff, and that ain't even happening. So if you want to talk or you have a question, log in to the chat room and talk to Marae. She can get her question in there, and we can assess the situation. And if it fits, we'll bring you on live. If not, we can answer your question. So just to let you know, that's what that's all about now. So go log into the chat room and ask your question. And you can just ask your question, and we'll go from there. I want to cover something really odd as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, the title of our program is How to Live According to God's Word in Today's World. Well, it's really no different than it's ever been. You live according to God's Word. God's Word, that means the Bible. That's not what you think the Bible says or what somebody told you that they had in a dream or a vision. But if we really want to know how to do what we need to do, then we need to be students of the Word of God. We need to have the Word of God. And here in the United States, especially, we have an absolute blessing to be able to own Bibles, carry Bibles, read Bibles. You can take your Bible to work. You can take your Bible to school. Yes, to school. Do not listen to the people say you can't. You can pray. You can do what you need to do. You can't disrupt things. You can't disrupt class. You can't disrupt your work. But if you're on break at your work and you want to pull your Bible out and read it, there is absolutely nothing that says you cannot do that. And if we get to the point where it says you cannot do that, we're going to be in such trouble. We're in trouble already. But the answer to a lot of questions is this: ignorance. You know, why do people do believe that? Because of ignorance. In other words, some of it's self-taught. Some of it is actually instructed. Ignorance is instructed into people. I was looking at survey today, and it's actually from a Gallup poll, a question that was asked in a Gallup poll. And there's a guy named Wesley Smith, who's a bioethics watchdog out there, and he saw this Gallup poll, and this is bizarre. Okay, I'm just going to read these to you. These are the three questions that were asked in this Gallup poll of people. And I'm gonna go ahead and read the question as it was, okay? Which of these statements comes closest to your view about the treatment of animals? One, animals deserve the exact same rights as people to be free from harm and exploitation. Or number two, animals deserve some protection from harm and exploitation. But it is still appropriate to use them for the benefit of humans. Or three, animals don't need much protection from harm and exploitation since they're just animals. Now, they looked at a time of asking this question from 2003 to 2015, so a 12-year period. The last statement, they don't need much protection, stayed constant when asked over these period of 12 years at 3%. So if you ask 1,000 people, then 30 of them, whether the same 30 or not, gave the same answer throughout the years. And from 2003, they ask again in 2008, they ask it again in 2015. It just didn't change, 3%. I think those people are just, they're close to the 1% that didn't answer, okay? So we can kind of toss those ones out, like, what? Here's what's interesting. The ones that said some protection, in 2003, 71% said they need some protection. By 2015, that had dropped to 62%. Now, what that means is we realize that because of conservation and the outstanding job that hunters, you know, North American hunters do, there's a lot of animals that were on the endangered species list that are no longer on that list because of management. Specifically, the white-tailed herds in the United States of America are phenomenally giant now compared to what they used to be because of good game management. And we're talking about people that hunt and actually do take animals and eat them. People do eat animals that never hunt. There are people out there that eat meat, and they hate hunting, they hate hunters, they hate guns, but they still eat meat. There's a bunch of those, okay? But some protection has dropped off because they realize that it's kind of ridiculous. This is the one that is frightening, okay? In 2003, 25% of the people asked said that they need the same rights as people. The same rights as people. In other words, you can't own pets because, you know, people can't be owned, slavery, okay? In 2008, 25%, but now in 2015, that's gone up to 32%. So is it that the 10% dropped off and dropped down to there? Could be. Yeah, it could be. A third of the population represented by this Gallup poll, animals to have the same rights as people. Okay? I'm the first guy that wants to turn off those Humane Society commercials. I can't stand the mistreatment of animals. I can't stand people who beat or hurt or trash. I know I'm tough to say I can't stand the people, but it's just brutal. Little animals, they just, you know, it's just for brutality's sake, it's horrible. Here's the crunch of the whole thing. At the same time, 34%, so 2% more of Americans, think unborn babies have no rights at all. So 32% of the people asked in this survey want animals to have the same rights as people, yet 34% of Americans think that unborn babies should have no rights at all because they don't believe they're people. They think that a piece of skin with some tissue in between the skin and an open womb makes someone a non-person. And you have to go, okay, at what point does that child that they call a fetus become a human? My daughter-in-law came up to me yesterday at Memorial Day, and she said, "Here, Dad," and put my hand on her stomach and felt their newest little boy kicking around inside. There's another human being inside of my daughter, another grandson inside of her. He's as alive now as he will be as the other grandkids are running around our yard. And for people to think that little guy in there is not a person, ludicrous. It's insidiously insane. It's sick. But we have people, and I'm not sure if they're not the same group, pretty close to the same number, think that animals should have the same rights as people, and babies that are inside of moms have no rights. It's the mother's right. But, you know, the last time I did a little bit of a biology lesson in my head, it takes a man and a woman to make the child. Even if they don't even know each other and there's a in vitro fertilization and an egg is implanted in the woman, it takes two to make the child. Why doesn't the father have just as much right? Why doesn't the father have just as much say-so in whether or not that child's life is going to end? Why is it the woman's body? Well, I think you are in charge of your body, but there's another body inside of her. That's how God designed it. See, the problem is you don't have a lot of these people answering these polls believing in God at all, not the God of the Bible. So out of sight truly is out of mind. Until you're in a delivery room, or until you're at a birthing center, or even in your living room, or wherever you're going to have this child with a midwife or with a doctor in the OR, until that child enters this world and you really get a wake-up call that that is a human being, you just don't get it. Once that's happened to you and you really bond and understand, you'll never think of it the same. Maybe you will at the first couple of weeks or the month or something, but if you really dig deep, you'll go, no, that's not right either. We need to be strengthened. How can we live according to God's word today? How can we do that? How did they do it in the New Testament times? How did they do it in the Old Testament times? Well, in the Old Testament times, they had people that knew the rules, and they would explain the rules to people. And people would come in and say, rather than go to the priest and say, Father, forgive me for I have sinned, they would come to the priest and say, what do I owe? You owe a dove. You owe a lamb. You owe a whatever. Three doves, two lambs, whatever. And then you would buy that and pay. Okay. But when it came to the New Testament, we found the grace of God. We found the grace of God and the power of God. Ooh. See, now there you have it. How do I live? According to the Word of God. I need to be taught correctly. How many people thought that yesterday was barbecue day? It almost became burnt house down day for us with our barbecue igniting the way it did. My kids make fun of me going crazy, but literally it could have been a very horrific situation. A few too many hamburgers on the grill. But yesterday was a day for us that's set aside to remember the people, the men and women, who have laid down their lives for this country in battle. Today we just want to bring everybody in. We want to bring first responders in. We want to bring police in. Well, that's fine. That's good. But this is not about that. This is about people who have lost their lives literally on the battlefield, the battleground. And there are women that did lose their lives. There were women at D-Day that hit the beaches at Normandy. There were nurses, and there were nurses that lost their lives. We need to understand that it's people who laid their life down. My uncle was on his last mission as a tail gunner, and they crashed into a mountain in Corsica, and he lost his life. Last mission, he would have cycled, he was going to do to cycle home. You lay your life down in battle. We are in a battle, folks, and we need to be prepared. We need to know how to think correctly. We need to know how to act correctly. And that all comes through one experience, one thing. It's not just reading your Bible. It's not just living according to the Word. It is being empowered by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, who is from God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Now, a couple things to describe in that verse. We have received, it means a past tense situation. Once you're born again, you've received that. Second, not the Spirit, small s of the world, small s Spirit, but the capital S Spirit, the Holy Spirit who is from God. We are able to do things because of the Holy Spirit who is in us. Now, Ann Graham, as I said, just does great little morning devotions. Listen to this, what she wrote today. Ann Graham Lotz. The Holy Spirit who now lives in you is the same Holy Spirit in Genesis 1 who hovered over the formless, empty, dark blob of earth that dangled in space. As he powerfully energized and pulsated the atmosphere, he prepared the planet to receive God's word and to be transformed into a place of purpose and beauty that ultimately, in the end, reflects the image of God. I talked on Sunday about a hummingbird beats its wings 90 times a second, every day 241 trillion gallons of water fall onto this earth. We just had horrific floodings in Texas where people lost their lives. I'm thinking specifically of two little children and the mother who have not been found. The father was found, the two little children, the mother not found. Floating down the river in their house, it gets broken in two. The husband survives, the wife and children, they don't think have. I'm going to continue to pray until they find evidence either way. But the bottom line is that even with those horrific floods, God will not flood the whole earth. But 241 trillion gallons hitting this earth every day, and the osmosis and the evaporation and the cyclic system that's been set up, no new water happens. It just gets distributed differently all over this planet. It's miraculous. A woodpecker has a brain that's cushioned to allow its head to hit a tree over and over and over, searching for food and not damage the bird. Intelligent design. That's what God did. The Holy Spirit of God. That same Holy Spirit is now powerfully at work in your life, hovering over your heart, preparing you to love God and be fully aware of His love for you. He hovers over your mind, preparing you to understand spiritual things and the truth of His Word. He hovers over your will, preparing you to make decisions that are pleasing to Him. And all the power of God, the same power that hung the stars in place and put the planets in their courses and transformed Earth, that same power now resides in you if you're born again. And it resides in you to energize and to strengthen you to become the person God created you to be. If you're born again, you have a deposit made of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. And you can be filled up to overflowing. We're leaky vessels. We need to be filled over and over and over. God's Spirit who dwells in you, the Holy Spirit of God, Jesus, came to this earth, died, was put into a tomb. 3 days later, on the third day, He rose again. He appeared to many for many days. He ascended and sat at the right hand of the Father, and He said, I must go, because if I go, I'll send the Comforter, and the Comforter is the Holy Spirit of God, who now indwells all believers. There were some instances of before Jesus was born of a virgin that people were filled with the Spirit variously throughout different times. Now, every believer, God's Spirit will be poured out upon every believer. That earnest money. And He is coming back soon. Might be 100 years, might be 100 days. He's coming back. And He's coming back for a spotless bride. Because when He looks at us, He sees us saved. Our bodies will be changed, either reconstituted perfect or changed in an instant to be perfect, to match our spirit. And our soul will be energized and strengthened by the Holy Spirit and made perfect. And we will be perfect for all eternity to be with Him. We need to know that. We need to believe that and understand that. We need to know that people have been empowered over the years to take a stand for freedom. And yesterday we memorialized them by remembering them. I put the flag down at half-mast, as another one of our brothers at church did, in memory of all those that have laid their lives down, all those that will. And then I brought my grandkids over and told them what Memorial Day is, remembering the people that were killed in battle. And then I said, now we're going to raise this flag because they stood for what it stands for, freedom. See, we didn't develop freedom in the United States of America. God gave us that freedom. And we raised that flag and had all the little grandkids put their hands on it and pull the flag up. So they got the flag up to the top of the pole. And I thought, when was the last time you ever saw any grandkids, little kids that were in their, you know, single digits of age, put their hands on a flag and raise it to the top of the pole and know about that flag? I thought it was important. Maybe it wasn't to anybody else, but it was to me. And they realized they live in the land of the free, the home of the free, because of the brave. Remember that. You are living in the home of the free because of the Brave. Well, we'll see you guys tomorrow, which is what? Wednesday, right? The 27th of May. And until then, you guys be blessed. Spend some time in the Word, morning, noon, and night. If you do, you'll be blessed. See ya.